Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 9 minutes after midnight here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. This is program 171. A little late start, starting at midnight. Happy Sunday. It's actually Easter, Lisa. Did you know that?
I've heard about that.
Yes, why I wore red, see?
Oh.
I'm wearing red for Easter.
You're very festive.
To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
I'm wearing my WGN clothing.
I see that.
I am styling.
And then Shante Garth is our producer. She's in the booth. And she's the best in the biz. We love Shante. And tonight we have two classic radio shows for you. We're going to start things off with Fibber McGee and Molly, a good Easter show from 1948. Then it's Escape with the Dark Wall, starring John Daner. We are going to boot or postpone Cavalcade of America. We're going to play it later, like in a few months from now we'll air it. It's a good show with Henry Fonda.
All right.
We're going to play it on Memorial Day, actually.
I will wait for it.
All right. So all of this brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as the villain Alexandra in the upcoming TV series, The Defenders, based on the Marvel Comics superhero team.
Mm-hmm. Well, they win.
And the winner gets two tickets to the Tony Award-winning musical Cabaret, which is at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana.
Life is a cabaret.
Oh, you've heard that one, huh?
Oh, chum.
There you go.
You thought I didn't know.
Yeah, that's very impressive. Do you like Cabaret?
No.
I didn't
never,
think so.
I don't think I've ever seen
it. Okay. Well, it is one of the greatest Broadway musicals of all time.
I'll
and
take
you can
your
see
word
it right
for it,
here.
Broadway, Lisa.
All righty.
All right.
All right. Let's
That's
do
it.
This.
All right.
That's
here's,
it.
Here's a hint. Okay. The
all
number
right.
to call 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. She played Chaffee Bicknell, who ran a surrogate center in 2008's Baby Mama.
Angie, bottom line, you're Karen Kate's baby, and you do want to get paid, right?
Okay. Stop laughing at me, Lisa. Who is that great actress? 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
And we're back. We are finally on the air. This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Angie, bottom line, you're Karen Kate's baby, and you do want to get paid, right?
All right.
We've got Michael on the line. Hey, Michael.
Hello, Carl. Hi, Lisa.
Hi,
how
Michael.
Are you?
Good. How are you guys this
Good.
Evening?
Happy Easter.
Oh, happy Easter to you guys,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
Carl's feeling very festive in his little red jacket.
Mm-hmm.
So
I didn't understand the red part.
I didn't either.
I thought Easter color.
That's
yeah,
so funny you said that
color.
Because he said I'm wearing red, and I'm
sure.
like, what does red have to do
Absolutely.
With it?
Absolutely. It's an Easter color.
What makes it an Easter color?
I don't know. I just...
He made that up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I was thinking that, too, and then I thought maybe I know nothing about Easter, so I should...
I tried to
I know nothing,
fool you,
so
Lisa.
I thought maybe I should just roll with that one. okay, Michael, who is that actress?
Would that be Sigourney Weaver?
Sigourney Weaver is absolutely right, and we are so thrilled to give you two tickets to see the Tony Award-winning musical Cabaret. It's at Theater at the Center, which is in Munster, Indiana. It's a wonderful theater. I've been there a million times, and I've loved it a million times. It's playing May 4th through June 4th, and you can check it out and go to theateratthecenter.com. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you love the show.
Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Excellent.
Thanks,
Take
Michael.
Care.
All right, everyone. It's time for our first classic radio show, one of the best comedy shows, one of the most long-lasting comedy shows, came to radio all the way back in the 1930s, actually 1935, Lisa. It was a real-life husband and wife. Jim and Marion Jordan starred as Fibber McGee and Molly. They were natives of Peoria, Illinois. And they lived on the show at 79 Wistful Vista in Wistful Vista, USA. The series was co-created by Don Quinn and written by him. And they had all these neighbors that would come by, knock on the door, like ring the doorbell, come in. One of them was Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. You like that guy.
I like
name. You like Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Anybody named Throckmorton
right.
is my friend.
You would like him. Hal Perry played that part. Mayor Latrivia was played by Gail Gordon, of course,
Mr.
Lucille
Mooney.
Ball's foil for many years. And then Bill Thompson played a bunch of characters, Wallace Wimple, the old-timer, Horatio K. Boomer. Doc Gamble was played by Arthur Q. Bryan, who was the voice of Elmer Fudd. And, you know, so there's just a bunch of characters, and a lot of these people went into cartoon work later. Yeah. One of the gags was Fibber's Hall Closet, where he had everything stuffed into the closet, and sometimes he'd open the closet and everything would fall out all
kinda
over
like
him.
Kind of like your house.
Yeah, exactly. Harlow Wilcox, we have a whole thing going on to name babies Harlow now.
I'm
we
on board.
We have like a whole mission for that. Harlow Wilcox was the announcer, as heard on NBC, and we have an Easter show. On this program, Molly has won the Wistful Vista I Like to Patronize Local Merchants Because contest, and the prize is an Easter frock. Now, there's a word you don't hear anymore, frock.
I think that's a word.
No,
that
I don't
you
think so.
Use.
People don't know that that means a dress, an Easter frock.
I think so.
Nah.
Well,
people, you don't say that anymore.
I'm going to start saying
Easter
that.
Frock.
I'm okay.
All right,
with
so
that.
Here's part one from March 23rd, 1948. Of Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Johnson's Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax products for home and industry present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The script is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. Music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. Wistful Vista's annual contest on I Like to Patronize My Neighborhood Merchants Because is over. And guess who knocked out a prize-winning letter? The notification has just arrived in the morning mail, and... no, it wasn't him. It was her, of Fibber McGee and Molly.
McGee, I won. Isn't that exciting? I won a prize. Imagine, the first contest I ever won, dearie.
Well, gee, that's wonderful, kiddo. Congratulations.
Sure.
We'll sell the electric refrigerator because we already got one.
What?
We'll keep the car and sell our old one. You keep the mink coat and I'll learn to fly the airplane. We can take the trip to Honolulu while they paint the house and refurnish the living room. Then
now,
when
McGee,
we get back...
wait a minute.
Huh?
I didn't win all that stuff. I just won a new...
What do you mean, all that stuff? Why, that's hardly anything in a contest these days. And if that Ralph Edwards thinks he's going to renege on all them promises by
George... This was not Truth or Consequences.
Huh?
This was the annual Wistful Vista I Like to Patronize My Neighborhood Merchant Because in 25 words or less.
Oh. Oh, that. What's the first prize in that vacant lottery? Trip by motor scooter through the fish hatchery?
I should say not. Listen to my award. It says, this letter entitles you as winner of the first prize in the women's division to an original Easter creation by Henri, Wistful Vista's leading couturier. Isn't that marvelous?
Who's Henri and what does he mean, an original Easter creation? What's he going to do, lay a purple egg?
For your information, sweetheart, the word couturier means fashion designer.
Huh? Oh,
it's from the French words couture, meaning dressmaker,
uh-huh.
and rie, meaning we'll sew some sequins on it for another $700.
Oh, that, Henri.
Yes, isn't it wonderful?
Oh, yeah.
A special Easter dress created just for me by Henri himself. I think I'll tell him Come in. It's Mr. Williams, the weatherman, McGee. Hello, Mr. Williams.
Hello, Mrs. McGee.
Hi, Foggy, old man. What's the weather forecast? Light flurries of sunshine followed by Wednesday and Thursday and unsettled bills on the first of the month?
McGee, I'm afraid you take the science of meteorology rather lightly.
He does, Mr. Williams. He says he can look at an almanac and tell what the weather is going to be better than depending on you people.
And I can, too. I'm part Indian, you know.
Really? What part?
The part that sits around the fire.
Indians good weather prophets, Mr. Williams?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed they are.
Yeah,
eh? Some Indian tribes have uncanny powers of weather forecasting.
Yeah?
I spent 3 years with the Camelback Indians of western Arizona, and I'm still mystified.
Yeah?
Every year when they performed their rain dance, it rained within 24 hours.
Oh, well, that's easy explained. They just waited for a rainy day and then held the dance the day before.
Some things aren't so easily explained.
Yeah?
Now, I'm not superstitious, but I went to a St. Valentine's dance once, and the next day I got 12 Valentines. Did the Indians make you a member of the tribe, Mr. Williams?
After I'd studied very hard and learned all their dances, Mrs. McGee, then they adopted me and gave me the name Manahu Dindin Malakil Ben Alamata Natatatatata Fla.
Meaning what?
Clumsy.
Show us how they did the rain dance, Mr. Williams, will you?
Well, I'd be glad to, Mrs. McGee, but I can't dance it without a tom-tom.
Oh, that's easy fixed. Here, I'll drum on the radio cabin. All set?
Mm-hmm.
Go!
Hey-yee! Hoo! Hoo! Hey-yee! Hoo! Hoo!
Oh, that's the rain dance.
Hey-yee! Hoo! Hoo! Hey-yee! Hoo! Hey!
Gosh, listen to that. Rain. I'm
sorry. I'm a little out of practice, and I guess I overdid it a trifle. I'd better get home and phone the Bureau what happened. I'm afraid I might have exceeded my authority.
Good day.
Isn't that the most amazing thing you ever saw, McGee? He did the rain dance and it rained.
No, I don't know. My cousin Louie learned a foxtrot one night, and on the way home, he got bit by a fox. So he said, hey, if we're going to get down to this dressmaker's, we better snap into it, kiddo.
We? Are you going with me?
Why, certainly. You think I'm going to have some monkey try to palm off a bowl of burlap on my wife that just won first prize in the women's division? Come on, get your hat.
Well, I'm so glad you're coming with me because you have such good taste in other people's clothes. I'll be right with you, dearie.
Okay, Tootsie. There goes a good kid. Imagine her slinking around town in a real Paris creation. I'll bet she'll be... Uh-oh. Now, come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello there, Teeny. I can't talk to you now. I and Mrs. McGee are going shopping.
Okay, mister. Boy, did you hear the cloudburst, mister? Did you,
Hear it. I played the accompaniment for it.
Well, it sure was a...
Skip it.
Okay. My daddy said it was raining cats and dogs for a few minutes,
yeah.
But I ran right outdoors, but I couldn't see any. Looked to me just like ordinary rain.
It did, eh?
Boy, it...
I says it did, eh?
Did what?
Looked just like ordinary rain.
Whom to?
To you.
When?
When it started to rain so hard a few minutes ago and you went out...
I know it. Oh. Oh, gee. I hope it clears up for Easter, Esther.
Huh?
I said I hope it clears up for Easter, mister.
Oh.
Hmm?
I said, oh. You got big plans for Easter, sister?
Oh, I sure have, I betcha. First thing in the morning, I'm going to feed Susie some carrots and lettuce.
Who?
Susie.
Oh, your pet rabbit, eh?
No, Susie's my little sister.
Huh?
She hates vegetables.
Oh, I see.
Then after Sunday school, I'm going to take my paint box and creep into my daddy's bedroom and paint him all red and green and orange and purple and everything. I hope I can do it without waking him up, I betcha.
Well, that seems like kind of a messy trick to play on your father on Easter Sunday, sis. What's the idea?
Well, mister, I just got thinking it over. He's awful good to me.
Well, yeah, but that's all the more reason why.
I just thought to myself, Teeny, I thought, why don't you paint your daddy some pretty colors so he'll look nice for Easter?
Oh.
He's been such a good egg. Well, it's stop raining now, mister. So long.
So long.
Come on, McGee. Here's Henri's. Oh. My goodness, I'm so anxious to get in there.
Yeah, hey, he can't be doing much business. He's only got one dress in the window. Down at the Bon Ton, they got 50 of them. I don't see why. Oh, hi there, old-timer.
Hello there, kids. Hey, what you doing downtown?
Well, I'm getting a new dress for Easter, Mr. Old-timer.
Yeah.
I suppose you'll be out Sunday morning to join the Easter parade?
No, I sure will, daughter. I love parades. Steam calliopes tootling fellas with red coats and boat hooks and elephants sure brings back memories.
Yeah?
Used to be with a circus, you know, till my feet got burned to bad.
Well, how did your feet get burned so bad?
Well, they used to shoot me out of a cannon, and one day they used too much gunpowder.
You mean they fired you and then you quit?
Son, it was no joking matter.
No?
I had a feeling something was wrong that sultry afternoon in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in July 1889. I crawled down into the cannon where the crowds cheered. Then I heard the fellow pouring in the gunpowder, the scratch of a match, and boom.
Yes?
Next thing I knew, I was 8,000 feet over Cleveland, Ohio, headed north-northeast, with my shoes burned off and three friends back in my dressing room waiting to play pinochle.
Spoiled the whole game.
Be that as it may, and speaking of parades as I was, I used to carry the front of the bass drum, too.
Yeah?
But I had to give that up, too hard on my ears.
Oh, yes, they're pretty noisy, all right.
Oh, the noise didn't bother me, but the fellow that walked behind and played the drum had such long arms he liked to beat my ears off.
You should have stood in bed and pounded your own ear.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it.
Yeah.
One feller says to t'other feller, says, seen my wife lately? She's had her face lifted. Is that so? Says t'other feller. Now, who'd ever steal a thing like that?
That's a pretty good joke.
That was pretty edgy humor.
You like that? That's some good writing there. I like that. All right. That's the first portion of an Easter program on Fibber. McGee and Molly will get back to it in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Do you have your calendar marked for next Sunday, Lisa?
Where are you going to be next Sunday, Carl?
I will be at Spin.
Are you? Are you going
to be
alone?
At Spin?
Are you inviting me to come with you?
Yeah.
I'll have to think about that one.
So, folks, if you don't know about this, we would love for you to stop by Spin Chicago, which is 344 North State Street, next Sunday between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m., a three-hour window. We will be there. Lisa and I will be there meeting our listeners and playing some ping pong and eating free appetizers. And it's absolutely free. The whole event is free.
Everything's free.
Yeah.
And we're going to be there. And we would be so happy to have our friends and family and supporters and anybody who kind of even likes us a little bit. If
yeah.
they showed up,
even if you,
it would make us feel really happy.
Even if you don't like us,
you
stop
could
by.
Pretend yeah. even for a few minutes.
Yeah. We'd love you to stop by.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. Are you coming?
We're
going
to play some ping pong, too. Yeah.
You're coming, right?
She's going to be there.
Yeah.
We're going to play some ping pong with our listeners as well.
Carl and I are going to have a match.
We are?
Yeah.
You
get one hand tied behind your back.
Oh, I thought maybe it was a book of matches.
That might work out better.
All right. Well, we'll play a game of ping pong. We'll play with yep. our listeners. We have some headshots, kind of a publicity shot to sign to our listeners and give away. And I might even bring some Twilight Zone CDs and give away some, like a couple dozen of them.
That would be
great. Some
of
our listeners as well. Yeah, we're going to have some fun
we're
things there.
We're hoping for a really big turnout, you
yeah,
guys.
Come on
we need
out.
You.
Yeah, come on out. That's next Sunday, April 23rd, between 6 and 9 p.m. Spin Chicago will be there. Just stop in, say hello. We'd love to shake your hand. We'd love to say hi.
And just so you know, this is in honor of our two-year anniversary here at WGN, so we really want to celebrate.
Right. Spin Chicago is a cool place. 344 North State Street. We'll see you there, hopefully. All right. It's time now for the conclusion of this Easter program on Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Well, let's go in and order my Easter creation, dearie. I'm so impatient. I wonder what Henri will want to make for me. Come on.
Wow. What a shop. Some stuff. Wow. Is this an extra thick carpet, or is this joint built on quicksand? I'm in it up to my ankles, Molly. I can't...
McGee, look. Mrs. McDonald and those other women over there. What are they staring at me for? Is my slip showing or something?
No, and even if it was and you were wearing army boots, you'd still look better than any of them biddies. Look at him whispering. Talk about cats. I'm glad I ain't carrying a can of salmon. I bet you by George they're...
Bonjour, madame, monsieur. You are perhaps wishing an appointment with the great Henri, no?
Look, sis, it's been 30 years since I was in France, and my parlay francais has lost some of its boo. Now, let's keep this in broken English, shall we?
Ah, monsieur is pleased to make a joke. Ah, your husband, madame, il est très joli.
Oh, you ought to see him at a party with mayonnaise in his hair. Trying to flip a spoon into a water glass. Well, miss, I'd like to see Henri, please. Tell him Mr. and Mrs. Fibber McGee want to see him.
Yeah, my wife won the contest, sis. Henri's going to whip her up something for Easter.
Oh, Madame McGee.
Yes.
Oh, mais oui, madame. Yeah. Henri's been expecting you. He is at the moment in conference, but I will tell him that you are here.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't like the idea, Henri. I thought it was a pretty clever stunt myself.
McGee, look, it's Mr. Wilcox. Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Who? Oh, hi, Junior.
Well, what are you two doing down here?
I brought Molly down to have a dress designed for Easter, Junior. What's your excuse?
Oh, I had a great idea for Henri, pal, but he can't see it.
Oh.
He's supposed to pride himself on being original.
Well, maybe he likes to think them up himself, Mr. Wilcox. Say, you don't mean you're designing dresses for him.
No, I just had an idea for a material, Molly. One of those prints that are so popular for spring. I think it'd be wonderful for hostess gowns particularly, and I'd call it the hospitality print.
Oh, that sounds good, Junior. Weave us a yard or two.
Well, it'll be a series of tiny scenes, you see.
Uh-huh.
First, a print of a housewife looking dejected, sort of downcast, with a section of dingy-looking linoleum at her feet. Then a picture of a can of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, and the words, no rubbing, no buffing. Then along the side of the gown would be the same housewife smiling, and the same linoleum, but with a high, glistening glow coat shine on it.
Oh.
The sort of beautiful new look that only Johnson's self-polishing glow coat can give your linoleum so easily. It'd be swell on a glazed chintz.
But Mr. Wilcox,
I figure he could line the gown in a contrasting color, you see, with a design of cans of glow coat rampant on a field of gleaming faces.
Oh.
Indicating the happiness that glow coat brings and the warm hospitality which would give the print its name.
Yeah.
But... along the hem, he could embroider Harlow Wilcox, representative.
Oh.
And maybe my phone number.
Oh.
Nothing vulgar, you understand. Just a small handwork signature.
Look, hey. Look, Waxy.
Yes, pal.
Do me a favor, will you?
I'd like to, pal, but I've got to go.
That's it.
Oh, so long, Molly.
Well, I wonder when we'll see Henri, McGee. My goodness, I haven't been so nervous since graduation.
Nervous?
You know, the women in this town are just scared to death of him.
Ah, patah, no frilly little minuet dancing ruffle duster's gonna scare us, kiddo. What's to be scared about?
Well, they say he's terribly temperamental. If he doesn't like a customer...
Monsieur Henri will see you now, madame. Please, just step this way.
Oh, yeah.
Announcing Monsieur and Madame McGee.
Oui.
Entrez, s'il vous plaît.
Oui.
Well, heavenly days. So you're Henri.
You know this guy, Molly?
Well, I should.
Huh?
Remember the night we went to the Western movie and the man next to me spilled his popcorn all over us? Well, this is him.
And you're Ms. McGee.
Well, it sure is a small world, ain't it? Howdy, McGee. Sit down. Say, it's a nice-looking suit you got on there.
You like this suit, Henri? January clearance sale at the Bonton, $35 with two vests. I wear out a lot of vests because I'm an elk, and my elk's tooth swings back and forth like a pendulum. I like the six buttons on the cuff, Henri.
Hey, that's real tricky. I sure like the way that coat drapes, too.
Well, I'm kind of fussy about how my coats hang around the chest, Hank. Not a bad-looking pair of pants you got on there, too, either. Them reverse pleats?
Yep, I always wear reverse pleats.
Mm-hmm.
Get thick in the waist around my age, and the pleats kind of soften up the outline.
Mm-hmm.
You wear belt or galluses?
Suspenders.
Oh. Me, too. The pants hang better.
Mm-hmm.
I like that button-down shirt collar you got on there, too, Hank. That's nice.
Well, thanks. It's mighty comfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, Ms. McGee. Here's a magazine you can read while we talk.
What? Well, I don't want to read a magazine. I came down here to get a dress designed, remember?
Oh, my gosh. She did it, that, Henri.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah. Now then, Ms. McGee, I'm going to design you something real pretty. Eloise, get me a bowl of that Bengaline and whatever else is laying around out there, except Mrs. McDonald, and drag that dress for me in here. And hang up my beret, will you?
Oui, Henri. Bengaline and whatever else.
Well, now, let me see, folks. Take a look at these patterns. Here's one I done for Mrs. McDonald. She's the president of the bank's wife, and she was real tickled with it.
Liked it, did she?
No, she hated it.
Huh?
Tickled her so much, she kept laughing in church. Kind of fuzzy material.
Hank, I think you and I are going to get along. Now, here's my idea for a dress for my wife. Now, suppose we take a few yards of décolleté, sweep it up the shoulder in a sort of a percale bodice with a lined gusset to offset the dirndl.
Now, McGee,
McGee, I sure would consider that idea a long time before I threw it out. Mabel, my pincushion. Okay, Ms. McGee, now take off your coat. Now, let me see here. I think maybe a nice suit, full skirt with a fitted jacket and some peplum.
Billy Mills Orchestra and the King's Men salute the Academy Award-winning Zippity-Doo-Dah.
Kind of day when you can't open your mouth without a song, jump right out of it.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay, my oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine head my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay, Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It is a truth.
It's actual.
Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Zip, 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 zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine head my way. Zippity-doo-dah, doo-dah, zippity-ay. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's really true. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. What a wonderful feeling when you're feeling this way. What a wonderful zippity-doo-dah.
Now then, Ms. McGee, we'll just pin it up a little higher on the left shoulder and drape it a little more around the left hip. There you are. Now take a look into the mirror.
Why, that's beautiful, Henri. Simply beautiful.
Well, yours.
And all with a handful of cloth and a mouthful of pins.
Well, that's going to make a mighty handsome suit, Henri.
Well, thanks, folks. Glad you like it. Eloise, take Ms. McGee's measurements. Sure, the best linings and buttons we got in the place. You just trot along at the fitting room with Eloise, Miss McGee.
All right, thank you. Lead on, Eloise.
Boy, you sure know your stuff, Hank, old man. Where'd you pick it up? You really from Paris?
Twice.
Huh?
Yes, sir. I was born in Paris, Illinois, and run me a ladies' tailor shop in Paris, France in 1919.
Oh.
Lost my discharge papers, so I had to grow me a beard and get an accent and hide behind a dress form, see? Then I found I had a talent for it, and here I am.
Oh, what do you know?
I'm doing so good, I could afford to throw away the accent. I was a kind of a...
Hello, Henri. I was just... Oh, hello, McGee.
Hi, Doc. What are you doing here?
Well, I always go through Henri's shop on my way to the hospital. It's a shortcut.
Huh?
Out the back of the post office, through Joe's Coke and Smoke, through Henri's place, around the filling station, and there I am.
Hospital?
Mm-hmm. Well, how is it, Henri?
Oh, just swell, Doc. Have a chair and roll yourself a cigarette. Here's the makings.
I haven't got time, thanks.
Well, how's business with you, bag bitches? I understand you worked some miraculous cures at the hospital last month by taking a week off.
That is a lie, and you know it. Those people would have gotten well anyhow. So what are you doing in here?
I'm going to have Henri make Molly an outfit for Easter.
Hey, that's pretty expensive, isn't it?
The best is none too good for my wife, boy. Expense is no object. Hardly. No, sir. It's only money. That's what I always say.
Oh, brother, listen to little string saver. Rhinestone Jim Brady. You don't impress me, Pinch Nickel. I happen to know you're so tight-fisted you didn't buy gloves all winter. You got out your golf clubs and used the mittens off your driver and your brassy.
Oh, now, Doc.
Oh, let him talk, Hank. Let him rave. He ain't what you might call a swift man with a buck himself. The taxi drivers around town call him No Tip Gamble, the man with the even change.
I don't believe that, McGee.
Oh, well.
Thanks, partner. Well, I look forward to seeing Molly in the Easter parade, Henri. Followed at five paces by our little Lucius Booby in that pinstripe awning he uses for a sport coat. I mean, the one with the belted back that ought to be belted right back to the sweatshop it came from.
No, let's not get started on clothes again, fat boy. Incidentally, what do you do in a couple of weeks from now when Ringling Brothers start on the road and want their tents back?
Well, I just...
Well, I guess everything is all set, Henri. And thank you very much. Come on, McGee, let's... Oh, hello there, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, my dear. Can I give you a lift as far as the front door?
Oh, no, thank you, doctor. I just want
to... Oh, excuse me, folks. Henri is speaking. Well, now, Ms. McDonald, that's kind of an embarrassing question for me to ask. Ain't it ethical?
Mrs. McDonald, she's one of them women that was whispering about you when you come in, Molly.
Probably wants to know if Henri has any material that'll make her complexion look like Molly's.
Yeah.
She has an epidermis that looks like it had been sprayed for fruit flies.
Now, you just hold the phone, Ms. McDonald. Hey, Ms. McGee, Ms. McDonald wants to know who made that dress you got on. She'll give me $500 to make her one just like it. Now, don't tell me if you don't want her.
Tell him, kiddo.
Should I tell him? Yeah. Well, I made it myself, Henri.
Yeah.
When we needed slip covers for the Davenport, McGee ordered too much material, so I used what was left for a dress.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Hello, Ms. McDonald. That model was an original Sophie. That's right, and it can't be duplicated. I'm sorry, Ms. McDonald. Well, I'll have your outfit ready for Easter, Miss McGee.
Thank you, Henri.
Hey, Doc, you want to get in the Easter parade with Molly and me? Molly can wear her new creation, and you and I'll walk behind her carrying the Davenport, huh?
River and Molly return in a moment. A friend of mine, a businessman who doesn't have much to do with housekeeping, helped his wife wax some furniture the other day. He told me about it later. He said, "You know, it's amazing how much satisfaction I got out of putting Johnson's paste wax on that table and then buffing it to a beautiful shining luster." Well, I know just how he felt. It's a very satisfying experience. You start out with a dull, ordinary-looking table, and after a little buffing, you have a table glowing and gleaming with a rich, warm, mellow glow. And then, too, it's good to know that the furniture and floors you wax with genuine Johnson's wax will stay beautiful. That shining film of tough wax will protect them and make them easy to keep clean. A quick wipe with a dry cloth will remove all dust and dirt and spill things. And you'll have added reasons to be proud of your home
if you bring out all its beauty with genuine Johnson's Paste Wax.
Look on the bright side, shine up the right side, bring out the beauty of the home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you probably know that the song Zippity-Doo-Dah won an Oscar during the recent Motion Picture Academy Awards.
Yes, Ken Darby and our own King's Men featured it in Walt Disney's Song of the South. And we're very proud that tonight they sang the same arrangement that Ken made for the picture.
A good boy. Good night.
Good night, all.
The makers of Johnson's Wax Products, Racine, Wisconsin, bring you Fiddle McGee and Molly each week at this time. Be with us again next Tuesday night, won't you? Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly, March 23rd, 1948. Good Easter show there, starring Jim and Marion Jordan, sponsored by Johnson's Wax, as heard on NBC. Harlow Wilcox, Lisa, doing the announcing. And we have a text line. Hey, if you're coming out next Sunday, let us know. Give us a heads up, a text. I want to figure out how many Twilight Zone CDs I need to bring out. So give us a text, 312-981-7200. If you're coming out next Sunday, Spin Chicago. Lisa and I will be there from 6 to 9 p.m. We want to meet and greet our listeners. We're going to play some ping pong, have some appetizers and hors d'oeuvres. And what else, Lisa?
Well, we want you to text us because we want to be excited about meeting everyone.
Yeah,
312-981-7200.
Text us if you're coming out. We'd love to know. And we're going to take a break, yeah?
Yeah, and bring family, bring friends,
yeah.
Bring anybody you want.
Right.
As long as they're nice.
Spins Chicago, 344 North State Street. Lisa and I will be there from 6 to 9 p.m. next Sunday for a meet and greet in honor of our two-year anniversary right here on the greatest radio station in the world, WGN. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. You know what? I spent most of today, Lisa, working on the schedule. Because I've been jotting down what the listeners want to hear, including yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and Jack Benny, The Shadow,
Of course,
Suspense.
I gave you the list of what you needed to
yeah.
put in there. So
I worked on it for hours.
I did all the
hours
work. You just
hours.
Sort of threw it together at the end.
And I sent it over to Rob Feldman, our webmaster, and he's going to put it up on the WGN website. Folks, that's our website if you want to see what we're playing every weekend. Because Lisa and I and Shantae, we're here every Saturday and Sunday from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning, unless we are preempted by sports as we were today for an hour, because the Hawks were on at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that.
Yeah, something like that, or 7. I also post a schedule on our Facebook page around
yeah.
Wednesday or Thursday each week.
Yeah, but you can look at the website and know what we're playing weeks and weeks in advance.
Or you can just give me a call and say, hey, Lise,
yeah,
what's on tonight?
Yeah, call Lise around 3 or 4 in the morning on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, and say, hey, Lise, what is going
yeah.
on for the weekend?
Because you don't sleep, do you?
I try to.
She actually sleeps late in the morning. I know not to call her in the morning.
Because
I'm
I go
an
to
early
bed
bird.
So late, unless
yeah.
I'm working
not
in the morning.
Not during the week.
Yes, I do.
I
get all of my work done at night.
I'm up at like the crack of dawn every morning. And I like to work out in the morning, get it over with. And so I know not to call Lisa, even if I'm having, a dramatic episode that I need to ask her.
By the time I get up, I'll have got like three or four missed calls from Carl. I know something's up.
Yeah, I'll be like, Lisa, call me. It's important.
Feel like 9:30, you'll be up for 3 hours
altering.
Waiting. Poor
Give
Carl.
Me a call.
I told you, Carl
I
has
need
drama
advice.
That swarms
A lot
him.
Of drama.
A lot of drama.
But Lisa knows how to answer all the drama questions. She's really, she's great at it.
Yeah, I'm going to get my own show.
I'm like,
it's
I know.
Be,
I'm listen.
My own Dr. Ruth.
I'm going to be a cheerleader for you to get your own Dr. Ruth call-in radio show.
Yep, I'm on that.
Yeah.
That's my psychology degree will come
you
in
know,
handy there.
I started on Triton College Radio, WRRG, which was 88.9 FM back in 1981. I think I could probably get you a gig there.
Oh.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Well,
it was a 10-watt radio station.
Let me just say, once you're on WGN, you're a little bit spoiled. I'm just
how many,
saying.
Let's see, 1981, how many years ago?
A
36 years ago?
Yep.
That's when I started in the radio biz. It only took 36 years to get here.
But, well, no, we've been here 2 years.
So, right, like, so it's 35 years.
Four.
So on your so on your new radio show, mm-hmm. that's where you should start. Roger, what do you think? This is good, right?
Yeah.
Send me to Triton College?
They say you have to start small.
You have to start
and work your way up.
Oh, I've been there.
Roger, did you know that Wendy was there at the time when I was there at that same time?
Our Wendy here at WGN? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, WRRG.
Small world.
Two of us from WRRG are
now
here
you're
now.
On the air. I was about ready to say you were on the air more than she is, but I forgot she's here 5 days a week.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I started. That's where I started my radio career.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Got to be careful on the way up.
After you got done sweeping the floors, what did you do there?
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I delivered the mail.
Poured
some coffee.
Right. But
that's how I started. What? Did I not start with bringing food and not speaking? Is that the truth?
That's how she started in the radio business.
It's true.
Bring food.
Bring some food and don't talk.
Don't talk.
That was my first day. Yep. And that's what I did.
Look how you progressed.
Isn't that something?
I follow directions.
Now she talks and doesn't bring food.
Exactly.
She brings an apple. She usually brings an apple.
I brought him an apple.
Mm-hmm. Enough for everybody?
Yeah, always, anytime.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So, you okay up there?
Huh? Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Lisa said you had like a little neck thing
going on.
You're okay? Everything's fine?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm good.
I'm going to come up there and give you a back rub?
Let's not get crazy.
Let's not get crazy. That's very forward of
Let's
you, Carl.
Let's not get crazy. Well, you know, listen. Roger.
You guys are pretty close.
We're both
huh?
manly men. It's okay.
Manly men. Yes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
We had a text from Monroe, Wisconsin. We have about 24 people all together listening to the show.
That's our friend Dave.
Nice. Hi, Dave. And friends. What's going on out there in Monroe, Wisconsin?
Just so you know,
Monroe. Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's not spelled the same way, it's pronounced the same. You know what? I'm thinking, you know, he mentioned that it's 2.5 hours away.
Get a bus.
I think we're well worth 2.5 hours.
Rent a bus and drive out for our meet and greet.
And it would be worth it. We'll get free food and we'll give you some Twilight Zone CDs and we'll just make your day.
I'm going to bring about 24 sets of Twilight Zone to give away to some of our listeners. Don't forget, folks, next Sunday, Lisa and I will be at Spin Chicago. We want to meet our listeners. Come on out between 6 and 9 p.m. Get some hors d'oeuvres, pizza. I think there's some pizza, right?
I requested that.
Other kind of fun stuff,
And I'm
too.
Saying if you live in Monroe, Wisconsin, and you show up, you get extra prizes.
Yeah. I know it's kind of far for a lot of, because, you know, I mean, this station signal goes all over the place, but I hope you make the trip out. It'll be a lot of fun. Play some ping pong as well. All right?
Yep, I'll be
there. At 6 to 9 at Spin Chicago, 344 North State Street. That is April 23rd, next Sunday. Lisa and I will be there. And if you're not, you're square. Be there or be square.
Yeah, that's
right?
it.
All right. In this hour, we have Escape starring John Daner in The Dark Waltz, all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming TV series The Deuce about life in New York City when porn and prostitution were rampant. And the winner gets a pair of tickets to see the Tony Award-winning musical Cabaret. It's at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana.
312-981-7200. Here's a hint. She starred opposite James Spader in 2002's Secretary.
I have never had a job before, but I can assure you that I am very excited about this opportunity.
She's very excited about the opportunity.
Of course she
Lisa.
Is.
All right, 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Tell us who that actress is and win some tickets to see Life is a Cabaret. Maybe I'll get a job as a singer on a Broadway musical.
Yeah,
someone will discover me from
probably
The Voice.
You know so much about musicals that you're just a wealth of information.
Yeah, maybe Alicia Keys.
You know, like two
maybe
musicals.
Alicia Keys will spin around and hit the thing, and she'll hear me, and she'll
you
be like
from The Voice.
From The Voice.
Oh.
Yeah, she's gonna spin around. Or Blake.
She'll spin around, all right.
Yeah, she'll spin around. Her head.
her head
will spin around like The Exorcist.
I think she's a good.
And
she's
she'll puke green pea soup at me.
No, she's a good judge on The Voice.
Yeah. All right. Tell us who that actress is. We'll be right back.
And we're back. We have some cheesy bites here. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again. You're cheesy.
I have never had a job before, but I can assure you that I am very excited about this opportunity.
Very excited, Lisa.
Well, I think she's talking about Spin. Over
yeah,
the
she is.
I think that's what she was referring to. Hey, Sheila.
Hi there.
How are you?
Oh, hi, I'm
Sheila.
Doing well.
Are you coming out to see us? Are you coming out to see us at Spin, Sheila?
You know, I'm toying with that.
Oh, untoy it.
Untoy with it. I just heard about it today on the radio coming home from work right now.
Yeah, we want to see you. Come on now. Come on out.
Absolutely.
Sunday, all right?
All right.
You'll
well,
have a good time. And make
promise.
Sure you come up to us and let us know you're the Sheila we talk to.
I'll right? do that.
You're not okay. just Sheila. You that. Are the Sheila.
Sheila.
Right.
All right, the Sheila. Who is that actress?
It's Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is the right one. And besides Spin over the weekend, you get two tickets to see the Tony Award-winning musical Cabaret. It's at Theater at the Center, which is in Munster, Indiana. It's playing May 4th through June 4th. And this is, of course, one of the greatest Broadway musicals of all time. Carl can attest to that. He's actually heard of one of the songs, so that's pretty big news.
I just got a call from the producer. He wants me to co-star in that now. He heard me singing.
The one line from the one song.
Yeah, he
wants
me to sing.
That's pretty impressive. And you can visit theateratthecenter.com for more information. Thank you so much for calling in, and we look forward to seeing you next weekend, the Sheila.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Sheila, take care.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye.
All right, it is time for Escape. It's radio's greatest series of high adventure, Lisa. And it came to radio in 1947, lasted seven seasons. William Conrad and Paul Frees, they were the voices of Escape. They also often played roles in these shows, too. And it used radio's best supporting players like Harry Bartell, Joseph Kearns, Ben Wright, John Daner, including this particular episode does star John Daner. And the byline was, tired of the everyday grind, ever dream of a life of romantic adventure, want to get away from it all and meet Carl and Lisa at Spin on Sunday, April 23rd from 6 to 9 p.m.? Right?
Right.
That's what it did.
That's
Every
what
week
they said.
It said that. We have an episode for you called The Dark Wall. This is from July 1st, 1954. John Daner stars. Here's part one of Escape.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are standing alone in a mountain village somewhere in the puppet country of Andorra, the high crags of the Pyrenees trapping the last of the daylight. And you know that in one of the stone houses facing you, behind one of the doors that is closed against you, is a beautiful woman whom you must find before she meets her death.
Listen now as Escape brings you Kathleen Height's story, The Dark Wall.
Of the night settled over us. I could hear only the silky ripple of the River Segre nearby and a thin whisper of wind in the high pines above us. The strained silence of the day was over. Joyce was sleeping quietly now, a few feet away. I sank into my sleeping bag and prayed that things would go better tomorrow.
Something roused me. Some sound. In a glance, I saw the gray of the pre-dawn, and then I saw Joyce. Poised at the side of my sleeping bag, wild terror in her eyes, and in her upraised hand, a heavy tire iron. Joyce!
But you wake up, Alan, don't!
Joyce, for heaven's sake, give that to me!
No, 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 I've got
give it to me, let go, let go! Let go, drop it,
no,
let it go!
No, I won't! Don't, Alan!
Let it go! Joyce!
Oh, you weren't supposed to wake up. Why? Why did you have to wake up? Oh, Alan, Alan, I'm so afraid.
No, no, you're all right, Joyce. Joyce, don't be afraid. No.
Oh, Alan, what's wrong? What's wrong?
There's nothing to be afraid of.
It's so awful to be so frightened.
Well, what frightens you? Can't you tell me?
I was going to kill you. I wanted to kill you.
Joyce, are you afraid of me?
Oh, it isn't you. I love you.
And I love you, darling.
Oh, I know you do. Alan, please, can't we go now? Can't we get away from here?
I knew now that Joyce needed care quickly. Her sickness, whatever it was, had been a growing thing. As we drove through the narrow, winding roads of the Pyrenees toward the tiny state of Andorra, I tried to forget what had happened, tried to ignore the mounting wall of silence between us. Something in that silence told me that Joyce's fears were greater than mine.
Why are you stopping here?
The road forks up there just ahead. I want to look at the maps. I'm not sure which way we're supposed to turn.
Aren't there any towns?
Well,
are we ever going to see people and buildings again?
We can't be too far from Andorra la Vieja, but I doubt if this road we're on is even on the map.
Then let's go back, Alan.
Yeah, let's see now.
If we don't know what's ahead, let's go back to Lerida or Barcelona. Anywhere but here.
It was a long way back, Joyce.
I don't care. This place, all tanglewood and pines. Narrow paths that twist and wander.
We're not lost, darling.
Then where are we? I don't like it, Alan. It's just a wild, lonely place. And it frightens me, and I beg you to take me out of here.
All right, darling. Don't worry.
I know what's behind me. The head, it's all unknown. I'm afraid of what's ahead.
No, you mustn't be afraid, Joyce. I won't let anything happen. We wound steadily higher and higher through the wooded Pyrenees. We met no one and saw no one. Andorra is a small state, only 192 square miles in all, but that morning it was an endless, stretching, climbing no man's land, a lonely place with no name and no face. Then finally we came upon it, not a town, really, a village with one great house and a few smaller ones. Perched there on the rocky ledge, it looked like the last stop before oblivion.
It's so quiet. I wonder where the people are.
I wonder if there are people. It's not a town at all. Perhaps we should have turned back when you said to.
Look. Huh? Look at the window.
Where?
Well, I know I saw a face in the window.
Oh?
There's someone here, Alan. Someone.
No, you don't want to stay here, darling. Even if we find someone, this isn't the place for us now.
Look, you see? The door, it's opening. Alan, someone is here.
But, Joyce, this isn't the...
You have lost your way?
If we were told there was a town here.
There is.
Well, is this all there is to it?
We do not require more.
Please. I'm tired. I need rest. Can't we stay here?
Is there a hotel? Any place where we can get a room?
There is what your eyes tell you there is, and no more.
Is there a larger town anywhere near here?
You are in Andorra. Nothing is far away. Nothing is easily reached.
What's the matter with you people? But you always talk in riddles. Can't you answer questions?
Please. We must stay here somehow. Just a while. I need to stop a while.
She is your wife?
Yes.
There is no hotel.
I see there isn't.
This house has many rooms, but we are a large family.
Please. Please, understand me. I've got to stay here. I can't wind around any more narrow trails. I've got to stop and rest. Can't you understand? Can't I make either of you understand?
Darling, it's all right. We'll find a room. You'll rest. Now, you mustn't worry, Joyce.
I must sleep. I must. No matter what happens, I must sleep.
Can't you do something?
Lady, you come. Woman!
Almost as soon as he called, a squat little woman appeared in the doorway. They exchanged only a look, and then she came and led Joyce into the house. At first, I thought the man meant for me to stay outside. He moved as if to stop me from following. Then he stepped back, and I walked into the house. Joyce was stretched out on the bed when I got there. The bed was the only piece of furniture in the room.
It's nice, isn't it, Alan?
Well, it's a room, a bed. I wish it were more.
Oh, I'm so tired.
Yes, darling. Now you go to sleep. When you wake up, as soon as you feel like it, I'll take you to Andorra la Vieja.
Yes, Alan. When I wake up.
Sleep well, darling.
She sleep?
Oh, she's very tired.
The woman says she trembled. The woman says she is full of fear.
I don't suppose there's a doctor anywhere around here.
We have no need for doctors.
My wife is ill. We have need for a doctor.
You will not find one here.
I know. I know.
Hey, what? Hey! Hey, get away from that car! Now go on now. I said, get away from it.
You are the intruder, not they.
Oh, they can leave the car alone.
They have.
Who are they?
My sons, my brothers, their sons. We are the family here. We are called Valira. We tend sheep and our own affairs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm worried about my wife. I didn't mean to shout at them.
Most of the time, our mountains protect us. We do not like intruders. It is not so bad in winter. The snows fall deep into the passes, seal them, and keep the intruders out.
We are not intruders. We don't want to be here. We don't mean to be here. And I promise you, we won't be here long.
Sometimes the intruders come to hide in our mountains, to be lost from the world. Always the intruders are troubled. Full of fears and discontent. The worst of the world. They find their way to Andorra.
I walked away from him, along the crude cobble of the village path, away from the great house and the smaller ones. And everywhere, the sons, the brothers and their sons of Valira watched me with silent distrust. I walked to the rocky pinnacle that was the edge of the village, and beyond, as far as I could see, the awesome Pyrenees reached higher and higher, like a great wall closing out the rest of the world. I went back to the house where Joyce slept.
The woman is with her. She called out, and the woman went into her.
Well, I shouldn't have left her alone. I must...
Wait. What? The woman has brought her quiet. That is enough.
I wouldn't try to keep me out here if I were... How is she, woman?
She is quiet now. The woman would not leave her so if she were not
Joyce.
Quiet.
Oh, Joyce, darling.
They said you'd gone.
No. Only for a little while. Only while you slept.
Don't... What? Don't come any closer.
Oh, Joyce. What is it?
Please. Leave me alone. I want you to leave me alone.
Oh, we're going to get out of this place, darling, together.
No. No, I won't go. I won't.
We'll find the right road. It can't be far. And I promise you, darling, everything will be all right. We won't come here again, ever.
Why don't you listen? Huh? I talk to you and you don't listen. I'm not going with you. You can't make me go with you. No, 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 no.
Joyce, wait. Oh,
don't let him take me away. Please don't let him take me away.
Joyce was clinging to the woman. Valera stepped in front of them as I came back to the front room, and beside him, from every corner of the room, the rest of the Valera men began to form a wall between Joyce and me. A wall of men, silent men, with staring distrust in their eyes.
What are you trying to do? Oh, can't you see she's sick? I've got to get her out of here. Don't you know that?
I'm taking her with me. And the whole lot of you can't stop me.
Hey, you don't know you.
You are listening to The Dark Wall, tonight's presentation of Escape.
All right, that is the first portion of Escape, July 1st, 1954, starring John Daner along with a great cast, including Katherine Height, Edgar Barrier, and Ben Wright. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Well, it's time for Bill and Wendy's huge, huge, huge After Easter show. Always one of our favorites. Just one day after Easter, we're going to talk about Easter and Passover and the Blackhawks and the Bulls and them being in the playoffs. We'll tell you what's happening on planet Earth and maybe other planets, too.
Sounds like someone has a sugar buzz from eating all those peeps.
Yeah, could you tell?
It's Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. Can you
do? Hey, this is John Williams.
And I'm Pete McMurray. We may not agree on everything, but one thing we absolutely agree on, when it comes to selling your home, there's only one agent John and I recommend.
And that's Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Grab a pencil because we're going to give you her coordinates in less than a minute.
This lady is a marketing machine. Amy spends over $1 million a year on local and global marketing.
Amy's system is so buttoned down. If your home doesn't sell at the price and deadline you agree to, she can rent it, she can lease it, or she'll buy it for cash.
We get calls and emails all the time asking if Amy really does this, and the truth is, she can't hold on to properties.
And that's because Amy's marketing reaches millions of potential buyers, creating immense demand, which means your home sells fast and for top dollar.
If you want your home sold, call the only agent John and I would hire. That's Amy Kite, 847-877-9881.
Or go online to amywillsellyourhome.com and start packing. Amy will sell YourHome.com.
Amy will sell YourHome.com.
That's a lot of website there.
But you don't want to sell your home. You just moved into a new gorgeous home. She's a gorgeous home. I'm moving in.
I love
I'm
going to
move into the attic. You have a little corner attic.
Got a crawl space up there.
Yeah,
crawl
we must. Space. Yeah. We must. Above our six car garage.
You wouldn't even notice me.
We have a two-level six-car garage. There must be a crawl space above.
Roger,
there.
She'd
you're
never
very
even
quiet.
Know.
I can attest to it. He's clean. He's quiet. Yeah.
He's quiet? He's quiet?
I brush my
teeth. Roger, he never stops talking. He talks all day, all night, all of the time.
Yeah, no. But he's going to be away from the main house, so don't worry about it.
He'll be in the servants' quarters.
Yeah.
He'll be with my chef and my butler.
In Lisa's mansion. Mm-hmm. So Amy can't sell your house, Lisa.
No way.
No, but she can sell everyone else's house if you need
her
to. All right, so we're in the midst of listening to Escape.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger Badish.
You're very welcome.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome that I'm welcome that you're welcome.
And we're all welcome.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick, it fits right in with the show.
Uh-huh.
You had Fibber McGee and Molly on earlier.
Yes, we did.
One of my most favorite comedies.
Yes.
And as I'm going through and Facebook, because I know you won't get this, but Lisa will, on Facebook you can go back on this day in history on all your different posts.
Mm.
And back in... where was it? 2011, on this date?
Mm-hmm.
I posted that on this date in 1935, it was the first radio broadcast of...
Fibber McGee and Molly.
You got it.
Yeah, see? They started in 1935.
Yeah, it was on this date. How about that?
Well, you know, as Fibber McGee and Molly, or as because they start as Fibber McGee and Molly, they started in 1935, but they were actually on radio earlier than that with a show called Smack Out. Did you know that?
Yeah,
well, you probably did.
Yeah, it's they've been on radio for a little while, but this specific notice was for that specific show, Fibber McGee.
What happened was Jim and Marion Jordan, they hooked up with Don Quinn, and they started on a show called Smack Out, which was he was like a grocery store owner, and the grocery store was smack out of everything when people would come in there and try. They would come in there and just look for, you know, pickles, and I'm smack out of pickles, and then they would just talk, and that was the whole show, and then it evolved into Fibber McGee and Molly.
Were they in the same town? Was it
shows? Wistful Vista.
Okay.
No.
Interesting.
What a great, you know, that we don't hear anything or see anything like that anymore.
No. The writing was so spot on.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, Don Quinn, he went and he created another radio show years later called The Halls of Ivy, Ronald and Benita Coleman.
Oh.
Yeah. Which had that same kind of, it was a very nice, very wholesome type of show about a college, you know. So, all right. Well.
There's a little history
there
for you.
There we go. Love it. Love him again, Molly. All right, let's get back now to Escape.
And now Escape and the second act of The Dark Wall.
I roused from a sleep that was tortured and full of pain. A bright afternoon sun shone in a haze about me, and when my vision cut through it, I saw nothing my eyes had seen before. I was in my own car, pulled to one side of a road that was wider than any I'd seen for days. And not far in the distance, I could hear the approach of other cars, but none were yet in my view. I got out, stood in the roadway. For all the stiff pain of me, it felt good to be part of the world again. But then I remembered Joyce and the wall of Valera men, and I was lost and lonely and sick.
Hey, you should not walk in the middle of the road.
No. No, no, I shouldn't, only...
You are hurt? An accident?
No, I'm all right. I just don't know where I am. What road is this?
Oh, you're in Andorra. You know that?
I know that.
Then, straight ahead on this road, the direction your car is pointing, no more than 4 kilometers, lies the capital, Andorra la Vieja.
Straight ahead, Andorra la Vieja.
I promise. I have just come through there myself. You are sure you are right? Not here?
No, I'm much better now. Do you know this country well?
Oh, well enough to drive through it quickly. My home is in Spain.
You wouldn't know a village near here, maybe a small village where everyone is called Valera?
No, I would not know it. There are many such villages in Andorra, if you can find them.
I must find it.
Perhaps in Andorra la Vieja?
Perhaps. My hopes were high for Andorra la Vieja. There would be answers for all my questions. There would be concern and help and interest. I told myself these things to keep my mind from filling itself with Joyce, to keep the pain quiet. Some corner of my mind held the memory of all that had happened in the house of Valera. I could not be sure I wanted to remember.
I do not see why you have come here, to me.
I didn't know any place else to go. I need so much help, I thought surely the police could do something.
There's been a crime?
No, my wife is ill, very ill. She's with strange people in a strange village. I've got to find help for her and go back there.
Then why do you not do this? Why do you bother me?
I've told you to... Will you try to understand me? I don't know where the village is. I don't think it's far away, but... I don't know where it is.
It has a name, the village?
I don't know that.
The people there are called Valera.
There's a river called Valera.
No, I saw no river. No, not there. It was high, on a rocky crest of a mountain, just a few houses. You must know where it is.
You were there?
Yes, this morning.
Then you must know where it is.
No, I don't. I don't have any idea where it is.
But you were there this morning. Now you are here.
Look, I don't know how I got there. Can I make you understand that?
I think none of this is important.
Well, it's all important to me. My wife is ill. She needs care.
You tell me that. Perhaps then you would tell me why you left her in a strange village you do not know, with strange people you do not know.
I didn't leave her.
But she is there, and you are here.
You won't even try to help me.
Help you? Help you what? Find a town where you have been, and I have never been?
All right. All right. I can't talk anymore.
There is a hotel across the plaza. You will find other intruders there. Among them, a doctor.
I wasn't sure I'd heard him clearly, but there were no questions left in me. I stumbled out into the glaring sunlight again, steadied myself against a pillar, and when I could make out the hotel across the plaza, I walked there. Held together, I know, by the thin strand of hope that I would find the doctor and there would be help for Joyce.
Here, drink it, Don.
Oh, hey, whiskey?
It's good whiskey. You need it.
Oh. Oh, good. It helps. But you do understand, Doctor, that I have not come about me.
You're your wife. I know. I understand that.
Oh, I'm glad someone does. You think the priest can help us? You think he'll be able to find the village?
Well, the padre will direct us there, if anyone can. Meanwhile, there's time. Now, tell me about your wife as much as you can, as much as you know of her illness.
Well, I've called it illness. I suppose it's that. Fear. Unreasonable fear is an illness, isn't it?
Oh, indeed it is, yes. Has she known these fears long?
I don't know. We've been married less than a month. I knew her only a short time before that. No, it was all pretty sudden. She was alone, I was alone, and then we were together.
Did you were happy together?
Oh, yes. Very happy. Very much in love.
Until this strangeness came over her.
Yes, yes, that's right. May I?
Oh, please do. Help yourself. Yeah.
Thank you.
How was it you described the difference in her, the difference in your relationship?
Like a wall, a mounting wall of silence.
Uh-huh. And in this silent time of hers, she is much different? Not at all like the girl you married?
She doesn't even look like herself. Her lovely, gentle face contorts into a wild thing, like she was an animal. Oh, it's ugly, Doctor, and so real. I couldn't imagine that, could I?
No, I don't believe you could. She was like that early this morning when she tried to kill you?
She kept saying that she had to kill me, that she wanted to kill me. And all the while she was so frightened. So very frightened.
But do you know what frightened her? Do you know any reason why she should want to kill you?
Well, I thought she must be afraid of me. She'd have no reason to be, but I thought that must be it. I asked her and she said, it isn't you. I love you. Oh, the poor darling.
She said that after she tried to kill you.
Almost immediately afterward. It's a complete contradiction, I know, but that's the way it is. As if Joyce were two persons, two directly opposite persons.
That may be precisely the case, you know.
I don't understand.
Two persons. One almost entirely good, gentle, kind. The other almost entirely evil, terrifying, menacing. Fiendish at times. Two persons occupying one body. That's schizophrenia.
Oh, no. No, not Joyce, Doctor.
Oh, I'd have to be sure, of course. But from what you said, still, I'd have to see her, talk with her. Or there are many steps to take. No, the important thing now is to see her as soon as possible.
Schizophrenia, that's hopeless, isn't it? I mean, there's no cure, is there?
Well, it depends largely, I should say, on how long these two personalities within her have been warring one with another, the good and the evil and the moral and the immoral. If the cleavage is minor at this point, if the breach between her two selves, as it were, is not yet great, There is a measure of hope.
But she couldn't go on this way indefinitely, being two people. Mustn't one of herselves, as you say, win this war?
If it progresses unchecked, well, then yes, oneself will emerge triumphant. Which is a poor war word here, for in such an instance, the evil almost inevitably triumphs over the good.
Can we go to her now?
Yes, I'm sure the party will have our directions.
The priest's directions were perfect. As I'd assumed, the village was not far away, but the drive was an eternity for me. The strain of the last days was beginning to tell. I was wound tight and knotted by all that had happened and torn deep by all the doctor had said. I stopped outside the great house of Valera. The doctor touched my arm.
Perhaps it's best that I see her alone at first.
Oh, but I've got to see her.
Oh, I know, and you will, but you don't know what happened here before you left. The last you remember, she was terrified of you. I'll send for you soon, I promise.
Tell her I love her. Will you?
Oh, indeed I will. Oh, there's one thing I neglected to tell you, one important facet of this. If we find what we fear most, you must take this comfort to your heart. A girl you love, who loves you, has no knowledge whatsoever of her other self.
Thank you, Doctor.
Yes, you ponder that. I shan't be long.
I watched the house door close behind him. And there, in the high quiet alone, I took the comfort he offered me. The choice I loved me. That was all there was, really. All in the world I needed to know.
You will not go in there. The woman, the doctor, they have brought her quiet again.
I am going in. I will kill any or all of you who stand in the way. Move. Move! There. Anyone else want his head bashed in? Good. We'll make a real mess of things, won't we? Come on. I like to crack skulls. What's the matter? Come on. Keep me from that door. Make one little move and I'll tear you loose. Men of honor, I see. Where is she?
Don't let him. Don't let him try to kill me again.
Look at her. Look at all of your crawling, shrinking cowards. What are you? Gentlemen? You make me sick. All of you. I killed him, you know. He was a gentleman. Dear, gentle Alan.
No.
He won't be with us anymore.
Oh, please. Please, somebody do something.
Easy now. Somebody will. Come on.
No. Alan.
I'll tell you, Joyce. Well, I told him. And you must take this comfort to your heart. Alan, the man you loved you very much. He didn't know this other self ever existed.
There were faces all around me. A wall of faces. Senseless, staring faces. And beyond them,
A strange girl wept softly. All strangers. Strangers staring at me. And I stared back at the wall.
Under the direction of Norman McDonald, Escape has brought you The Dark Wall by Kathleen Height, starring John Daner with Joyce McCluskey. Featured in the cast were Ben Wright, Edgar Berrier, Nestor Paiva, and Fritz Feld. Your announcer, George Walsh. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week.
You are in a farmhouse on the southern coast of England. The autumn countryside around you desolate and bleak. And you know that in the dusk outside, waiting patiently for you, silently watching for you, is an enemy from whom there may be no escape.
So listen next week when Escape brings you Daphne du Maurier's story, The Birds. Listen while you work. Enjoy Argyle Sunday, Monday through Friday on the CBS Radio Network.
All right, there you have Escape with The Dark Wall, starring John Daner. They were talking about Daphne du Maurier's story, The Birds. Of course, Alfred Hitchcock optioned that and made an incredibly suspenseful movie out of The Birds right after he made Psycho.
Oh, that's a yeah. The Birds was a wonderful movie.
Do you watch Bates Motel?
I don't. I mean, I know it, but that's not one of my regular shows.
It's the last series. It's in the last season, and, you know, this is it. I think there's just a few more episodes. A great series. You should go back and watch it. It was a great. If you like Alfred Hitchcock, you know.
I probably will enjoy it.
This was sort of a reimagining of the whole story of Norman Bates and his mother, Norma Bates.
Right.
The Bates Motel. Very, very good. But anyway, that was Escape from July 1st, 1954.